Morning. Today's daf in Zvach Miz Lamed Hey. We are on Lamed Alamed Beis. We are at the two dots halfway down in the Amud. Kiba Akash V'Nasan Apostle. The Mishnah in the third parak of Zvachim taught us a number of things that went wrong but are correctable. So some of the correctable mistakes in the Mishnah in terms of Kabbalah Saddam, in terms of accepting the blood after Shechita, is if you take a look at the Mishnah, going all the way back to Daf Lamed Beis. So if you keep a kosher and an apostle, yachs la kosher. So one example in the Mishnah is that somebody who accepted the blood was kosher, meaning a kohen, valid kohen, and then he gives it to somebody who's not a valid kohen. Not a kohen, we could just simply say. So that the Mishnah says, no problem, yachzal l'kasha, you give it to somebody who's kasha. Kibbal b'yamino, manasal l'smona, yachzal l'mino, yilu yamino. The Mishnah gives another example where the kohen accepts in his right hand, which is, of course, the correct hand to work with when doing the avodah, and then puts it, and then passes it over to his own left hand. Not a problem, says the Mishnah, you just simply give it back to your right hand. And then kibbal b'kli kosh, manasal l'kli chol, yachzal l'kli kodesh. Another example said the Mishnah, where you accepted the blood in a kli shares, in a kli kodesh, and then you transfer the blood over to a kli chol. Once again, the Mishnah says, it's not the end of the world. You just simply transfer it back into a kli kodesh. With all this, the Gemara has a number of questions. The first question of the Gemara is, why do I need all these cases? They seem to be basically repetitions of the same point again and again. The Gemara says, no, they're not. It's not repetition. Each one of the cases in the Mishnah are necessary. Tzricha, so we are in Lamed Alamed Beis, right at the two dot station. Tzricha, the Gemara says they're both necessary. All three cases are necessary. De'iash min apostle, hava min amai apostle, tamid dechazal avod esibor. So the Gemara says, look, if we would have had the case of apostle, I might have thought that the apostle in the Mishnah is a reference to a tamay, somebody who's tamay. In other words, yeah, because then we know that chazal avod esibor, because that we know that under certain circumstances, tumah is allowed in the base of Mikdash. So aval small alone. But in other words, but if we're talking about collecting in the left hand, when can you collect in the left hand? The answer is never. Meaning left hand is never an acceptable usage in terms of doing the avoda. V'yesh minam small, and if I only had the case of the Mishnah of transferring over to the left hand, d'yisleyech sher b'yam kippurim. So at least with the left hand, now I know a moment ago I said never. So you know when you say never, you don't really like literally mean never, but you mean most of the time. But there is an occasion, however, where you use your left hand in doing the avoda, and that's on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you're using a left hand. Well, again, when I say you, I mean obviously the Kohen Gadol. So Kohen Gadol is using his left hand. Yeah. In other words, there's going to be one of the avodas on Yom Kippur where a left hand is going to be used when bringing the shovel full of coal into the Kodesh HaKadashim. So the Kohen is going to be bringing in the shovel and also the Kataris as well. And so one is going to be held in the right hand, the other one's going to be held in the left hand. So there at least is an event where the left hand is going to be used. So the Gemara goes on to say, the Isla Hechsher B'Yom HaKippurim. So the Aval Kli Cholo. But in other words, but when it comes to Kli Chol, so no, meaning that another Kli Chol can never be used. And here we could use the word never literally, meaning never. So V'iyash min Kli Chol mishum dechaz l'ktushinu. So the Gemara says, now a Kli Chol, look, a Kli Chol is never used in doing the avoda, but a Kli Chol can be converted into a Kli Kodesh, meaning you just simply are mechanech, you inaugurate it, either use the Shemin HaMishcha, or at a time where there was no Shemin HaMishcha, you actually mechanech it through usage. But in other words, you can convert the Kli Chol into a Kli Kodesh. So fine. Avahana chemalo. But in other words, the left hand is not convertible to a right hand. And a non-Kohen can be converted into a Kohen. So in other words, so each one of them has a strength. Each one of them has a weakness. Sricha. So the Gemara says that's why all these cases are necessary. Yeah, but somebody else is collecting in the right hand, and you're giving it to yourself is giving it to your left hand. Okay, that's why the cases are slightly different. Again, these are slight differences. They're not major differences, but enough so that the Mishnah has to record all these cases. Okay, so the Gemara says, oh, with all that said and good, so the Gemara says, okay, v'lahavelei dichui. So the Gemara says, okay, but we have a concept of dichui. Dichui has come up already a number of times in the Masechta, and here comes up again. And that is that we know that once something gets rejected, so that's it. He can't use it once again. And so over here, don't we have, doesn't this fall under the category of dichui? Now rejection over here in the cases of the Mishnah, so exactly which case is the Gemara now suggesting is real dichui? Meaning it passing it over to your left hand, like is that going to be considered a dichui? Giving it to a non-Kohen, is that dichui? So it's not perfectly clear from the Gemara which case of the three cases that we just discussed is really going to be subject to the Gemara's interrogation of dichui. Take a look at Tosus over here. V'la have a dichui, second to last Tosus on the Amud. So Tosus writes, Tei my nasal and psul mabekach. My say it's tabuhu. So mi gar mi nasal ala evan, sharilo parichachi, amasisan, damar perkotziolo, diktani yasavi, hinicho akain azahav, shebehechal. So in other words, giving it to somebody who's not a Kohen. My say it's tabuhu. Okay, it's like putting it down on a pedestal. That can't be dichui. The otik shele krad the maisilav the berakam of vizruku akonim. The near the had the parch will have a dichu lokai ah the nelson the puzzle. The ain't the ella maisa it's the baba amos. The Tosa says, I don't really think giving it to a non Kohen is really where the Gemara is even interrogating. I don't think that's even a question of dichui. Ella parch and nelson the klichol va nishbach min a kli ala ritzpa. So Tosa says, I think the Gemara's questions over here of dichui are going on one of two cases mentioned in the Mishnah. One is where you transfer from a kli kosh to a kli chol. Yeah. So that would be a case of dichui. Interesting, by the way, that kli chol would be worse than it going on the floor. But in other words, I hear it, meaning I certainly see it, but at the same time, it is somewhat ironic. And that's one possibility, says Tosas. Another possibility is where it falls on the floor. Meaning that also could be a question of dichui. In any event, so either falls on the floor, goes into kli chol, the Gemara is asking the question of dichui. Meaning, and again, the principle of dichui is, and over here, by the way, it's superior dichui, meaning it's dichui major. Meaning, remember back when we discussed dichui, there was dichui minor, dichui major. Dichui minor is, it was never fit, and it was rejected from the very beginning, and then nira. And then now it's fit. Over here, it's nira, v'nidche, v'nira. Right? Dichui major. Where it was fit, in other words, it was blood collected in a kli shares, and then either it was transferred over into kli chol or was spilled on the floor, so it's nira v'nidche v'nira. So this is dichui major. So the Gemara says, well, under those circumstances now, it shouldn't survive the disqualification. The Gemara answers. The Gemara gives a couple of answers. So I'm a le ravina, le ravashi, hachi am ravir, me amidifta, mishmei derava, hamani chanan hametrihu. Deleith le dichuyin. So the Gemara says, okay, one possibility is that our Mishnah, meaning this Mishnah, the third paragraph of Zvachim, is following the opinion of Chanan HaMitzri. Chanan HaMitzri is a Tana that we know from Masechta Yuma, and he says that there's no Dichui. Ditanya, the Gemara here quotes the Braisa, and that is Chanan HaMitzri, Omer, Afilo Dam Bekos, Mevi Chaver, Mezavig Lo. Okay, and not to get into the details, but we know that in Yom Kippur there is a pair of goats. One is Lashem, the other one's Lazazel. And we know that they're basically they're paired to one another. They're linked to one another. If I lose one, I'm saying it right now in the really vague and abstract. If I lose one, I lose the second as well. And so therefore, they come as a pair. According to Chanan HaMitzri, if let's say we shechted the blood of the Sir Lashem and we already collected it into a kli shares, and the Sir Lazazel dies. That when I say die over here, I mean not thrown off the cliff. Die. I mean, died before that point in time. It just dropped dead. So there are opinions in the Mishnayos and Yuma in terms of what to do. Right now, all we need to do is focus on the opinion of Chanan HaMitzri, which is it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. You just simply get another goat, you match it up with the blood, and that's it, and you're good to go. What the question we'll ask and answer is, well, isn't there dichui? Meaning, by virtue of the fact now that the blood, which has already been shechted by the Sir Lashem, does not have its pair going along with it. And during this period in time, isn't it disqualified? The answer is yes, it is disqualified. And how can you just simply resuscitate it by bringing in another goat? And the answer is very simple. Chanan HaMitzri doesn't subscribe to the principle of dichui. It seems like it doesn't subscribe to the principle of dichui at all. That's what it seems like. I don't know if we're going to go all the way there, but we could say it simply. He doesn't subscribe to the principle of dichui. So the Gemara is saying now that our Mishnah is in agreement with Chanan HaMitzri. So in all the cases in the Mishnah where it's spilled on the floor, it's transferred into a kli chol. So even though, yeah, you could ask the question of dichui, but our Mishnah subscribes to Chanan HaMitzri, who doesn't subscribe to dichui. That's one possibility. A second possibility, says the Gemara, Rav Ashi Amar Kol Shviyado Lo Havi Dichui. The second possibility of the Gemara is a principled possibility, meaning what the Gemara now is giving us is the following yesod. According to Rav Ashi, If it's biyado, meaning if it's something which is correctable at any point in time, even if it's disqualified, but it's something which is disqualified, which is in our control to correct at any point in time, that's not considered dichui. And so under those circumstances, in our Mishnah, since when it falls on the floor, I could have picked it up at any point in time. If it transfers over into Glichol, I can transfer it back at any point in time. This falls into the category of Yado. And therefore, even, I don't have to subscribe to Chanan HaMitzri. I can go like the other opinions in the Gemara and Yuma. And still, over here, because it's correctable, because it's Yado, so therefore it's not Dichui. Right, Tosis over here, Tosis, we did this Tosis when we learned Sukkah this year. Tosis over here is bothered by the Gemara in Sukkah regarding the Hadassim that have the berries on it, which also subject to Dichui, and it's Biyado, and the Gemara over there is still bothered by the principle of Dichui over there, even though, by the way, it's different. Over there it's Mitzvah, so over here we're talking about Karbanos. But okay, in other words, see the Gemara in Sukkah over there for a discussion of Dichui by Mitzvahs. No. Over there, it's not biyado. Meaning, over there, that's a machlokas over there between the Tanaim, whether it is or it isn't dichui. Over here, however, when the blood spills, so that's biyado. I mean, kind of literally. But in other words, it's biyado. And so over here, we don't even have to entertain who we follow, like according to Ravashi. Once it's biyado, not subject to dichui. Okay. I'm Rav Shia. Kavasa de Ravashi Mestabra. So Rav Shia now supports the opinion of Ravashi. Because man shamas le dis le dichui and Rav Yehuda. Because he says, look, let's take a couple of positions of Rav Yehuda and put them together, and you'll see that Rav Ashi's right. So let's say, for example, I'll start off like this. Didnan, va'odam Rav Yehuda nishbach adam, yamos ha-mishtalech. Meis ha-mishtalech, yishafech adam. So we know that as far as Rav Yehuda and Yom Kippur is concerned, so basically you lose one, you lose the other. Meaning, Rav Yehuda subscribes to the principle of dichui. That's one position Rav Yehuda. And on the other hand, we also know that Rav Yehuda subscribes to this principle of biyado. How do I know that? Based on what he taught us regarding psachim. Now, over here, before I read this inside, so let's set the scene. Erev Pesach in the Beis Hamikdash. That's right. It's one of the scenes which is just so wonderful to imagine, and God willing, be amenu. So the scene on Erev Pesach in the Beis Hamikdash is that after Chatzos, after the shechting of the Tami Shalbein Arbayim, so then the Karban Pesach is brought. Hundreds, thousands, and at one point in time, even over a million Karban Pesachs were brought in the Beis HaMikdash at that point in time. And as you can imagine, it was semi-chaotic. It was the organized chaos in the Beis HaMikdash on that afternoon. And so blood is collected, blood is sprinkled onto the Mizbeach. We already gave earlier in this Masechta a wonderful description of how the Kohanim would line up and pass the cups one from the other, and eventually it would get to the Mizbeach. So every cup got to the Mizbeach. We'd like to say the answer is yes. We'd like to say that. But at the same time, we know, it's chaotic. And it could very well be that after the blood was collected in a bowl, could be that blood spilled. Wouldn't the Kohen just simply pick it up and bring it to the Mizbeach? Again, if it was nice and calm and, you know, not a lot going on in the Beis HaMikdash, the answer, of course, is yes. But it's possible. Possible that it hit the floor and it never made it to the Mizbeach. Rav Yehuda's position is going to say like this, and we're going to discuss this actually in some detail in the course of today's daf. Rav Yehuda says that at the end of the afternoon, right, before the sun sets, so what you're going to do now is that you're going to take a cup, you're going to basically put it right into the floor of the Azara, and oh, by the way, it's not a parenthetical note, we're stopping up any drainage in the Azara, so all the blood is just simply collecting in the floor of the Azara. So you're going to take a cup, you're just going to put it into the floor, pick up a cup, and sprinkle onto the Mizbeach. And this is going to be Rav Yehuda's insurance policy. And now, under these circumstances, what's the coverage of this insurance policy? If in the event that any blood fell on the floor and didn't get sprinkled in the Mizbeach, so now we have it's a built-in insurance policy. So maybe some of the blood now will go on, that didn't hit the Mizbeach, now will be sprinkled on the Mizbeach. I'll tell you what, Eddie, the Gemara's gonna have a lot of follow-up questions to this, so let's just wait a little bit, and let's, you know, and hear the Gemara speak this out. Because the Gemara is gonna investigate this opinion of Rav Yehuda. So, I know there's a lot of Gemara coming up on this topic, so let's, you know, just hear it out. Now, this is Rav Yehuda's insurance policy, right? Rav Yehuda's Karban Pesach insurance policy. So now, how does it work? The only way it works is if we don't subscribe to Dichui, right? Meaning the blood fell on the floor. And meanwhile, according to Rav Yehuda, you pick it up and you pour it back on the Mizbeach. But we also know that Rav Yehuda holds of Dichui, because when it comes to Yuma, right, so he says if you lose one of the Seirim, you have to get another pair. So in other words, so Rav Yehuda holds of Dichui, but meanwhile he can pick up the blood from the floor. So what do you see? The answer is you see Rav Ashi. Meaning, obviously, Rabbi Huda the Tana subscribing to the principle of Ravashi, that as long as it's biyado, it's not subject to dichui. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. And I'll just read the Gemara inside. The Tanya, Rabbi Huda Omer, Kosechad hayam amala midamat harovitz, vizarku zrika achas, keneged yisod, shema mina, kosh biyado lo havi dichui, shema mina. So in other words, if I put the Rabbi Huda position together, meaning that from Yuma, and that which we're learning regarding Karban Pesach, so then you see very clearly that Rav Yehuda also subscribes to this idea that when it's biyado, like blood spilling on the floor, you can pick it up at any point in time, so therefore it's not subject to dichur. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Gemara's discussion, but now, as long as we brought up Rav Yehuda's insurance policy on Erev Pesach, so now the Gemara wants to come back to it, and the Gemara has a lot of follow-up questions. So let's see all the Gemara's follow-up questions to Rabbi Yehuda. Gufa, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Kosech Aliyam Amalim, Midamat HaRovishim, Yishafech Echad Mehem, Nimsushu Machshiram. Okay, so here we start off by restating the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which is at the end of the afternoon, you'd simply take your cup, a klisharis, put it in the floor of the Azara, collect a cup full of blood, and sprinkle it onto the Mizbeach. Amru lo, le Rabbi Yehuda, v'alol niskaba b'kli. So here's question number one. Now this is part of the Braisa. Meaning the Chachamim don't subscribe to this insurance policy. They think it's pointless. So one of the points of contention of the Chachamim is, what are you suggesting? Meaning, isn't it more than possible that the blood went straight from the neck of the animal onto the floor? We've already learned in our Masechta that if the blood goes from the tzava right onto the floor, it's pasul. So you didn't gain anything by collecting that blood. So the Gemara says, mina yadei. So the Gemara says, okay, but to the Chachamim, how do they know? Meaning they're also only speculating. We're all speculating, right? Ela shemel is kaba b'kli. So okay, so the Gemara just simply modifies it, tweaks the language of the Braisa. Shema. You're right, the Chachamim don't know, but look, it's an insurance policy, but insurance policies are good only if in the event. But the Chachamim are saying, look, in the event, we'll suggest that the event was, it went straight from the neck of the animal onto the floor. So Amalem, Sir of Yehuda says back to the Chachamim, now we're on the top of Lamed Hay. Af ani lo amarti ella kishin is kabel b'kli. So and Rav Yehuda says to the Chachamim, you're right, but here's my point. I'm going to assume that the blood went into a kli, and from the kli got spilled onto the floor. V'hu gufei mina yadei. Now the Gemara interjects in the middle of the Braisa. How does Rav Yehuda know? So the Gemara says Kohanim's reason v'avdim haya u'mishtapchen. So the Gemara says because we know Kohanim's reason. Kohanim are very careful, very meticulous. Now. Steve, you beat me to the punch. So you realize that in the same sense that we're saying the Kohanim are really meticulous, we're also saying, and careful and quick, and have a lot of alacrity, but we're also saying at the very same time, anime is spilled on the floor. But at least, in other words, for Rav Yehuda's perspective, the idea that the blood is going to, the Kohen's going to shech the animal and not collect the blood in the bowl, that's really unlikely. For Kohanim's reason, that's really unlikely. They work, by the way, I didn't stress this. The Gemara says va'avadim haya. Haya over here means quickly, meaning that they work so quickly that it's really unlikely that they're going to miss that step of Kabbalah Saddam. So,
some of the animals' blood definitely ended up on the floor even after they were Kabbalah.
Stay tuned. A lot of follow up questions. So the Gemara says umishabchem. So the Gemara says so fine. So Rav Yehuda's now contention is that if we're going to suggest that any of the blood spilled on the floor and didn't make it to the Mizbeach, it's not between neck and bowl. Meaning between neck and bowl, for sure it was collected. In other words, it was somewhere between the bowl and the Mizbeach. That is where it got spilled onto the floor. V'alo dama tamsis mu'rabo. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. What is Rabbi Yehuda now saying as his insurance policy? We'll take one cup of blood from the floor at the end of the afternoon and we'll sprinkle onto the Mizbeach. There's a lot of blood on the floor. And not only is there a lot of blood on the floor, a lot of non-zrika blood on the floor. We know that when you shecht an animal, so there is layers of blood that come out. The first wave of blood that comes out is what's called dama nefesh, which we already discussed a number of times in our mesechta. So that's the dama nefesh that you sprinkle on the mizbech. The second wave of blood that comes out is what's referred to as dama tamsis. Dama tamsis is you do not sprinkle on the mizbech. So on the floor of the azara right now, meaning you shechted your karban pesach, so they collected the dama nefesh. And then what then leaks out of the animal afterwards is Dama Tamsis. So now on the floor of the Mizbeach, you have so much blood, some which is sprinkleable, okay, I make up words here, and some which is not. So you have all this blood together. So according to Rav Yehuda, how does that work? So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda, Tami Dam, or Dama Tamsis, Kari Dam. So the Gemara makes a really interesting proposal, which is, well, you know that in terms of consumption of blood, so you know that that's asr. The Torah asrs it and in very strong terms. In fact, consuming blood is a chi of kares. So, which blood, if you were to consume it, is subject to the chi of kares, the Tanya. And here the Braisa speaks this out. We're going to see this in Krisus. Damatamsis bazar of Yehuda Amar Bekares. So Damatamsis is a lav in the Torah, meaning that according to the Tanakama, if I were to consume Dama Nefesh, that's an Issur Kares. If I were to consume Dama Tamsis, it's only a lav. Now, when I say only a lav, it's still a lav, but in other words, it doesn't have the Onish Kares. Rav Yehuda Omer Bikares, and Rav Yehuda on that point disagrees. Rav Yehuda says that by consuming Dama Tamsis, it's an Issur Kares. And here's what the Gemara is proposing. Since the Issur of consuming blood, according to Rav Yehuda, is an Issur Kares, it therefore stands to reason that you could take the Dama Tamsis and sprinkle it on the Mizbeach. That is what the Gemara is arguing right now. The Gemara immediately rejects that point. Right. Well, but we're in the sheet of Rav Yehuda. Yeah, right, yeah, correct, correct. Wait, well, hold on. Again, let's just wait, because again, after the Gemara goes through all of its follow-up questions, a lot of these questions are going to get answered. Now the Gemara says, now, Rav Yehuda's position regarding Achilas Dam is that you're going to get kares for consuming either Dama Nefesh or Dama Tam. That's true. But Rav Yehuda is agreeing that when it comes to kapara of a karban, you need Dama Nefesh and only Dama Nefesh. How do I know that? Shenamah, the Gemara quotes a pasuk. Ki Adam hu anefesh, right? Ki Hadam hu ban nefesh yichaper. Fine. Dam shen nefesh yotzebo kari dam shen nefesh yotzebo in kari dam. Meaning blood. Blood vis-a-vis kapara is only Dama Nefesh. Rav Yehuda agrees to that. So, back to our question. Now on the floor in the Mizbeach, you have Dama Nefesh and Dam Tamsis getting mixed up together. And if we're going to speculate, let's even go so far as to say that there's more Dama Tamsis than there is Dama Nefesh on the floor in the Mizbeach. Let's even say that. But again, could be right, could be wrong, debatable. But there certainly is blood that is sprinkleable and blood that's not. And so how is Rav Yehuda's insurance policy going to work? So Ela Rav Yehuda, Tami Dam in Dam Mevatel Dam. So the Gemara says, well, again, this insurance policy is working within the sheet of Rav Yehuda. It is Rav Yehuda's opinion. And Rav Yehuda is consistent with his other opinion, which is Min Bemino Eino Mevatel. There's no bitta when it comes to Min Bemino. Meaning, there is a general discussion. We're going to see it later in the Masechta in Zvachim. Right? We're in Zvachim right now. It comes up at a later point in time. In terms of the question of min bimino, it's here, it's in Yuma. The question of when I have items that get mixed together which are like items. So is there going to be bittul, is there not? Generally speaking, we say that as long as you have a majority of one item over that of another item in any tarovis, so we say that the majority is mevatel. We all know that when it comes to when you introduce tam, in other words, if there's a consideration of taste, so then you need shishim. But in any event, though, there's a concept of bittul. Rav Yehuda says that if the items that get mixed together are not different, meaning there may be halachic differences between them, but they're not different than one another, so there is no bittul and there's never bittul. Min bemino eino mevatel, according to the Shita of Yehuda. Or the way the Argamar phrases it is ein dam mevatel dam. So that means then that when he takes a cup and puts it into the floor of the Azara, even if there's trace amounts of dam hanefesh that went unsprinkled on the Mizbeach, that's okay. Meaning it still retains its status, and therefore you fulfill the mitzvah in the event. Again, all this is just an insurance policy. Amalem Rabbi Yehuda Divrechem Lama Poki Mazara. So now Rabbi Yehuda says to the Chacham, look, for me, we all agree. Meaning here's a point where we all agree to. On Erev Pesach, the drains were plugged up in the Azara. Meaning there was a drainage system in the Azara, because you know that a lot of shechting, a lot of liquids flowing in the Azara. So how does it all get cleared? In other words, there's a drainage system. And we're all in agreement that on Erev Pesach, it gets plugged up. A stopper is put onto the drainage system on Erev Pesach. Rav Yehuda says, for me, we all know why. Meaning because In other words, we want it all to stay there, so that in the event that any of it is not sprinkled on the Mizbeach, so now you could use my insurance policy at the end of the afternoon. But for you, the Chachamim, who don't agree with me, don't think that there's a cupful of blood at the end of the day sprinkled on the Mizbeach, what's the point of stopping up the Azara? Amrlo shevachu levnei Aaron shehachu ad arkavoseim bedam. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? For the Kohanim, this is Shevach. Okay? In other words, we are for us, you know, we're somewhat delicate and, you know, slightly, we live in a very hygienic world. So in other words, having a picture, a visualization of Kohanim, you know, standing and basically up to their ankles in blood. So to us, right, barefoot, right, even better, right, barefoot in the Azara to us, like, doesn't seem that appealing. But in other words, in the base of Mikdash, while doing the Avoda Shevach, in other words, they're in it ankle deep, right? Knee deep maybe, but in other words, certainly ankle deep.
Now, so, even as careful as they are, okay, that's pretty slippery.
Wow. So the Gemara now points out, okay, so once again, many more follow-up questions on this as well. So the Gemara says, so according to the Chachamim, we're doing this because it's Shevach. It's a praise to the Kohanim. V'adam havechatzitza. So the Gemara says, now, the Kohanim are standing now not on the floor of the Azara, but they're standing on blood. And doesn't that pose a chatzitza? The Gemara says, no, it doesn't. Lachu v'lo havechatzitza. The Gemara says, liquids are not a chatzitza. Did not, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah from Mikvaos. Adam v'adio v'advash v'achalav, yeveshim chotzim, lachin ein chotzim. That any of these liquids, blood, ink, honey, milk, so if they're dried, so then chotzitzin. So then, in other words, that's a solid, and that's a chatzitza. However, lachin in chotzitzin, but in their liquid state, they do not serve as a chatzitza. The hakam is vase manayu. So the Gemara says, now the Kohanim's clothing are going to get dirty. Okay, remember, not so long ago, second paragraph of Zvachim. So we talked about how when the Kohanim's clothing are dirty, so that only is unseemly, it's worse than that. It's a psul. It's a disqualification. Vitznan, and the Gemara here reminds us of what we learned not so long ago. How you begadav mitush tashin, the avod avodah so psula. So if the clothing of the Kohanim are dirty, and they do the avodah with dirty clothing, so that's the psul. Vichitim and the madlaluhu, so the Gemara says, okay, so what the Kohanim are going to be doing as they're walking around in the Azara and Erev Pesach is they're hiking up the begadim, the big dekuna. Vatanya mido kimida social yechsa v'shelo yosir. So the Gemara reminds us once again what we learned earlier in the Masechta. The clothing have to fit. And so hiking it up, remember we had a discussion earlier in the Masechta in terms of when you double it up, when you hike it up, is that, in other words, but it could just simply flow back down again. Is that good? Is that not good? So we had that discussion, but the Gemara assumes right now that's not good, meaning the clothing have to fit while they're doing the avoda.
Could be.
Again, the Gemara feels that either according to Rav Yehuda it's for the insurance policy, according to the Chachamim, it's for the purposes of Shevach. Those are the two suggestions of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, well, lach is evarim lekevish, the lav avodi. So the Gemara suggests, well, I'll tell you where they're really gonna not worry about their clothing when they're doing kind of like non-avoda avodas. Like, let's say, for example, bringing the limbs up the ramp of the Mizbeach. The Gemara says, that's not avoda. So the Gemara says, and we learned this earlier. We learned this towards the beginning of the Masechta. Bringing the limbs up the ramp of the Mizbeach, to the Mizbeach, I should say better, that's an avoda. It's not an essential avoda, but it's an avoda. And the Kohanim, being that that's an avoda, Kohanim have to be dressed appropriately. So that's not where they're gonna let themselves go and get their clothing all dirty. So the Gemara says, bringing the wood onto the top of the Mizbeach as fuel for the fire, that's not an avoda. Obviously, it's hechsher. You need it. You need the fuel. But that's not an avoda. And that's where they can let themselves go. Basically, jump into the blood, get their ankles dirty, get their clothing dirty. In other words, in Shevach. It's a praise to the Kohanim. And so the question, which hopefully all you're wondering, which is, so now I have an Azara full of blood, and it's a Shevach to the Kohanim, but while the Kohanim are doing Avoda, so they can't get their clothing dirty, so how are they navigating through the Azara with all the blood on the floor, and they can't get their clothing dirty? So the Gemara gives an answer, which, you know, really begs a lot of follow-up, although the Gemara doesn't do any follow-up. The Gemara just simply says, Azle a itzaba. So the Gemara says like this: the floor in the azara is uneven. There are little pillars that are all around the azara. And what the Kohanim would be doing while doing avoda is they'd be walking on these pillars, on these like platforms that were all around the azara. So, aren't the Kohanim supposed to be standing on the floor of the azara? So Rashi writes over here, it is considered floor of the azara. It's part of the floor of the azara. Rashi, right before the Mishnah, he writes, I'm reading, it's the Boskvon Hayusham, Binyan Avadim, Ve'inan Chotzin, Demin Haritzbahin. Okay, it's part and parcel of the floor. In other words, just having an uneven floor doesn't take away from the fact that it's floor. It is floor, and so in other words, so for most of the avoda, they're walking on these on the raised levels of the azara, and then as they finish the avoda, so then you know they jump in. they jump in the blood and get their clothing dirty and shevach. Okay. It doesn't seem. I mean, Gemara doesn't say that. Meaning, in other words, once it's made up of stone, it's just simply part and parcel of the floor of the azara. Okay.
Would Rabbi Yehuda hold that if you did Kabbalah, okay, and let's say it was a second Kabbalah because the first one's still that, so you're going back to get more Dama Nefesh.
Right.
You did Kabbalah, and you had Dama Nefesh come out, and then you also someone squeezed on it. You had the
Dama Thomas's.
Dama Thomas's come out.
Well, once you do Kabbalah, you don't need to go back.
It's spilled. I'm saying, in the case where it's spilled out, they needed to go back for a second Kabbalah.
Right.
But we had a case where we were going to go back and get.
Okay, so right.
So in that case, you can have the two together. It would be all right because he's saying that.
According to Rav Yehuda, in other words, for Rav Yehuda, every blood retains its identity. In other words, so the Dama Nefesh still retains its identity, even if it's mixed together with a preponderance of the Dama Tamsis. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It retains its identity.
I want to say one thing. How can you do the Zerika from somebody else's blood, not from the animal you have to be? Because we said before that you could spill, you can go quickly get it from the same animal, Dama Nefesh. Why not just take from anybody? So I don't understand why. How can you do Zerika from, blood that's not from this animal?
No, from Rabbi Yehuda's standpoint, it's an insurance policy. Meaning, we'll assume that most of the blood that was collected from every carbon Pesach is sprinkled in the Mizbeach. But there's a chance that some of the blood didn't make it to the Mizbeach.
Somebody else's blood?
He maintains that the blood that's spilled
maintains
identity.
I understand that. But before we had said, remember that?
Doesn't have to be.
The blood, he can go quickly back to the animal. Why did he go back to the same animal? Go to any animal.
Because there's space up there. 4 million people standing.
Right.
There.
Right. Right.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, when you do the when the Yom Kippur, someone is steering the blood, not the blood. So if it's on the floor, there would definitely be a blood.
Okay. It happens to be you come at a slightly unfair advantage. You know a little more about blood than I do. Okay, correct.
But blood forms in that vessel, then it becomes pursuit, cannot use it. So same thing on the floor. I mean, you have so much blood, there would be some blood.
The Gemara is assuming. I'm just going to go with the Gemara's assumption. Gemara is assuming that even as it sits on the floor, it doesn't coagulate and doesn't, doesn't solidify. I mean, that's what the Gemara is assuming right now. I mean, that's not limited to Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, that according to everybody, because remember, the Gemara asked the question, chatzitza, meaning the Kohen is standing on it. How come it's not a chatzitza? The Gemara says, because it's liquid.
So they also subscribe to the fact that you can pick up the blood and throw it?
They agree to that. They're just, their argument to Rabbi Yehuda is that that's not going to happen. Meaning, there's no blood is going to be shechted on Erev Pesach and not be sprinkled on the Mizbeach. They're just simply saying to Rav Yehuda, we don't need such an insurance policy. Whether it works or it doesn't work, I don't know. Meaning, the Chachamim don't say. You know, there are many points you can argue with. You can argue about Min Bimino.
That's the whole point. And if they agree with him, if they say that you can pick up and say,
no, but they're saying
that the blood can be mixed and it's not
going. Well, the only thing everyone agrees to is that the drains were plugged up. That's what everyone agrees to.
Yeah.
Why the drains were plugged up, that's a disagreement.
Yeah, it's true, but they don't agree that afterward you can pick up blood and throw it.
It could be that they're just, again, we don't know. In other words, they're simply saying to Rav Yehuda, it's unnecessary. Right? You taking the cup is unnecessary. Whether it works or it doesn't work, the Gemara doesn't say. In other words, the Gemara doesn't tell us what the Chachamim feel. Okay. Let's start with the Mishnah. Okay, we're on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. We are halfway down in the Amud. We're at the Mishnah. And we reintroduce ourselves back to Pigel. I told you already. Pigel is one of those topics that's just going to keep coming up again and again in these early Parakim, in these earlier Parakim of Zvachim. It's a fan favorite topic of the Mishnah, of the Gemara. And so once again, we reintroduce ourselves to the world of Pigel. So let's just quickly reacquaint ourselves. It wasn't that long ago that we discussed it, but a quick reacquainting. When you shech the carbon, when a kohen shechs the carbon, and it could be a non-kohen as well, but again, I'll just keep it simple. When a kohen shechs the carbon, or does any one of the dalet avodos of the dam with a carbon, and while doing any one of these four avodos, has a machshav and he articulates, and he says that either I plan on consuming or the mizbeach consuming from the carbon chutz is mano beyond its prescribed time, right? The blood has to be sprinkled on the mizbeach today. The if it's a shlamim, it has to be consumed by the owner today and tomorrow. So in other words, there's limits in time on consumption. If the Kohen says that I'm going to eat it beyond its prescribed time, that's chutzos minor, that's pigel major. And if anyone were then to, and then you finish the dala vodos, so now the animal is rendered pigel. If somebody were to consume that animal, the person who consumes the animal is subject to kares. Let's go to pigel minor. Pigel minor is basically the same thing. While doing any one of the dala vodos with the dam, either shchita kabbalas dam, holach and zrika, and while doing the dala vodos, so they say chutzim komo, where the kohen articulates and says that this animal is and either the dam on the mizbeach or the basar of the animal is going to be consumed outside of its prescribed location. So that is what's called chutzim komo, and the animal is also going to be pigel, but pigel minor, which means to say that the animal is disqualified, but if you consume from the animal, it's not going to be subject to the kares penalty. Okay, the ABC is the basics of pigel. And here now, as we learn the Mishnah, now we've quoted this Mishnah already earlier in the Masechta, but here's the Mishnah inside. Let's say you shech the carbon, and while shechting the carbon, there's an articulation of thought that we're going to eat part of the carbon that is not consumable. What is part of the carbon that is not consumable? So, in other words, let's say the Yemurim. The Yemurim, which are supposed to go up onto the Mizbeach. And the Kohen says that this part is going to be eaten either beyond, it doesn't matter, Chutzos Man or Chutzim Kamo. In other words, the point is that it's a part of the animal that's not consumed. Oh, Lahakter, Davashein, Darko, Lahakter. Or let's say the Kohen's articulation is that I'm going to put a part of the animal on the Mizbeach that shouldn't go on the Mizbeach, meaning non-Yemurim, meat of the animal. So the Kohen articulates how he's going to put that on the Mizbeach, either Chutzos Man or Chutzim Kamo, Kasha. So such a carbon would be Kasha. Now Kasha over here just simply means not pigel. Meaning obviously none of this is recommended. In other words, but because you confused consumers, it's therefore not subject to pigel. Rabbi Elazar Poso. Now Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that even though you confused consumers, even though the articulation was to put a piece of meat on the Mizbeach, or to have one of the imurim consumed by the owner, and so his articulation of thought definitely confused the consumer of who should be consuming what, but still Rabbi Elazar says this falls under the category of pickles. Lechol davar shedarko lechol. I'm not sure. I was wondering that. Seemingly the answer is yes. The only reason why the Mishnah uses the word puzzle is because the Mishnah is entertaining both chutzos mano and chutzim kamo. Okay. Lechol davar shedarko lechol, v'laktir davar shedarko laktir, pachos mikazayis kasher. Again, just technicalities over here in terms of why it's not pigel. Let's say there was an articulation of pigel, either chutzos mano chutzim kamo, but less than a kezayis. So again, it's not pigel. Lechol kechatzi zayis laktir kechatzi zayis kasher shein achil v'aktar mitzarfin. Let's say the articulation of thought on the part of the kohen while doing the shechita is a half a kezayis is going to be eaten beyond its prescribed time, and a half a kezayis of the imurim is going to be put onto the mizbeach beyond its prescribed time. So here too, not pigel. Why? Because the consumption of humans and the consumption of the mizbeach do not combine one with the other. Hashochet, we quoted this Mishnah earlier. Hashochet is a zevach lechol kezayis min ha'or, min ha'rotev, min ha'kipa, min ha'ala, min ha'atzamos, min ha'gidim, min ha'karnayim. If let's say the Kohen's articulation of thought is that a part of the animal which is not edible, it's just simply unedible, An inedible part of the carbon is considered now to be consumed beyond the prescribed time or beyond the prescribed place. It's not pigel. Now I'm going to go back and, to the best of our ability, let's just identify parts of the animal that are inedible. So, just reviewing the last lines of the Mishnah we just read, so that's the hide, inedible. Rotev. Rotev over here is kind of like the source of the gravy. In other areas of halacha, it's certainly part and parcel of the meat. But in other words, in order, and we're going to, I'm going to keep hitting this point again and again throughout the sugya. When it comes to pigel, it has to be carbon proper. So in other words, derivatives that come off the carbon are not going to be subject to pigel. So here, rotev, we're talking about the source, not pigel. Mina kippah. Kippah Rashi over here identifies as being the bottom of the pot. After you cook up the meat in the pot, so any of the residue on the bottom, that's what's called kippah. Okay, again, in other areas of halacha, it's certainly meat, but here, vis-a-vis the isurim of pigel and nosar and tameh, which we're going to introduce later on, it's not part of the carbon proper. Ha'alal. Rashi over here describes alal as being some sort of ligaments, tendons that are running up the neck of the animal. Asamas obviously are the bones. Gidin. The gid is a very loose term used in the Mishnah to describe basically anything that's like tubular within the body. So like it could be, gidim could be veins, arteries, ligaments, tendons, could be nerves. We all know that. It's called the gid hanasha. So in other words, but the word gidim is just a loose term to describe anything tubular, huh? Sinus. Anything tubular within the body, which is just, again, inedible. Mina karnayim, that's the hooves. Mina talafim, sorry. Karnayim are the horns, talafim are the hooves. So, all these parts are inedible, and because they're all inedible, so therefore will not render the animals pigel. Ein chayav malem mishum pigel, back to the Mishnah, continuing now in the Mishnah. Ein chayav malem mishum pigel, nosu v'tame. So in other words, not subject to any of these yisurim that are specific to karbanos. Hashochet es hamukdashim, and so now Rashi explains now same discussion. We're just now talking about female animals, and with female animals there are other derivatives as well. Lechol shlilo shaya. So when it comes to a female animal, so what derivatives do you have from the animal, from the female animal? So either a fetus or the placenta. So in other words, if you eat the fetus or if the kohen is now considering about how the fetus or the placenta of this carbon is going to be consumed beyond the prescribed time or place, the animal's not rendered pigel. Because again, the rendering of pigel only comes when you have a consideration of the animal proper. These are considered derivatives of the animal, and therefore not subject to, and cannot make the animal pigel. Hamolek es aturim. So here now we're going to be talking about pigel as it relates to a bird. With bird, the process of shechting the bird in the Beis HaMikdash is called malika. We'll discuss more of that later in the Masechta. But in the meantime, let's say, while doing the Malika, which is analogous to Shechita, so now, Lecho Beitzeim B'chutz, Lo Pigel. So if, let's say, the Kohen's consideration, his articulation of thought, is how he's going to eat the eggs of the bird. So that, again, is not carbon proper, and therefore the bird does not become Mispagel. Chalav Mukdashim, the milk of a carbon, of Beitzei Torah, Ein Chayav L'Mishim Pigel Nos V'Tamei, once again, these are derivative items, not proper part and parcel of the animal proper, and therefore not subject to the disqualifications of carbon. Not pigel, not nosar, not tummy. Amar Rebbe Elazar. And for the remainder of today's daf, or at least for the next sugya, next Amud of Gemara, what we're going to be going over is the thesis of Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar over here, the Amora. Pigel ba'zevach nispagel ha-shalul, v'shalul nispagel ha-zevach. Pigel ba'ala nispagel ha-mora'ah, but ma'or nos pagal alal, pigel be'imurim nos pagal parim, but parim nos pagal imurim. And so there are three permutations of basically the same point. And that is as follows. Again, when we talk about pigel, we could talk about what creates pigel, the catalyst of pigel, and the effect of pigel. Now, in terms of the catalyst of pigel, right, how do you create pigel? So the Kohen has to have in mind while doing any one of the Dala Vodos, how he's going to consume a part of the animal beyond either its prescribed time or place. And as we have learned together in the Mishnah, he has to have the right consumer in mind, meaning meat for the person, imurim for the mizbeach, and it has to be a part of the animal that's normally consumed, and I'll throw another and on there. And it has to be part of the animal proper. Meaning if it's any one of these derivatives of the animal, so that is not going to create pigle. Okay. That's in terms of the creation of pigle. Once pigle has been created properly, so now what's going to be mispagel? What's now going to fall under the category of pigle? So what Rebbe Elazar is now going to argue is that every part of the animal becomes mispagel, even the derivative parts of the animal. So in other words, what creates pigle is only animal proper. But once pigle is created, so what's now going to be under the umbrella of pigle, what's going to be mispagel? The entire animal, even the parts of the animal that are not normally consumed. So the spread of pigle is going to be more comprehensive, more encompassing than the creation of pigle. You only are chayav karas. I made this point earlier. It's right. It's one of the misconceptions of pigle. Not that there are many misconceptions. People don't know about pigle in general. But the chayav karas for pigle is only eating the carbon that was mispagel. Creating a pigle animal for the kohen to do so, it's not issur karas.
I understand. In other words, his position is.
In other words, now that's mispagel. Yes. Yes. And it was chutz mano, so then it will be subject to pigle. Now I'm going to reread the statement to Rebbe Elazar again because there were three examples. Amar Rebbe Elazar pigle bezevach nispagel hashalil. So in other words, the shalil which we already discussed, that's the fetus of the animal. So if you are mispagel, if you're mefagel on the carbon proper, the shalil is incorporated. Now it's part of the animal now that becomes pigle. However, b'shalil lo nispagel hazevach. But as we learned together in the Mishnah, the shalil can create pigle. Meaning if while the Kohen is doing the shechita, he's thinking, hey, I can't wait to eat the fetus beyond its prescribed time, that's not going to create pigle. That's example number one. Pigle ba'alal nispaglo mora'ah, b'mara'ah lo nispaglo alal. Now, Rashi points out over here that in the second example, we're talking about the bird, and specifically, the alal, apparently the tendons of the bird are softer, and much more edible. I know in the Mishnah we said it's not edible, but that's talking about an animal. Here we're talking about a bird. So Rashi says that it is soft and edible. So if the pigle is thought about regarding the halal, the whole bird, even the mora'ah. Mora'ah is a crop of the bird. Crop of the bird is generally hard and generally inedible. So, but still though, once the bird becomes pigle, it includes all parts of the bird, even the parts of the bird that are not so edible. However, b'mara lo nispagel alal. But in other words, but if the thought of the kohen is going on how he's going to eat the crop beyond the prescribed time or place, that doesn't create pigle. The third example is pigle b'imur nispagel parim. This is talking about part of the carbon chatzis that are not offered on the outer mizbeach, but rather offered on the inner mizbeach. Which parts of such a carbon are actually going to be consumed? Only the imurim and only on the mizbeach, on the outer mizbeach. Meaning, for a chatos apnimios, what happens to the rest of the animal? No consumer. Meaning it's not going to be brought onto the mizbech and it's not going to be consumed by kohanim. It is burned outside of the azara in an area known as the Beis Hadeshen. But in other words, that's not consumed. So, again, Rabbi Loza's point is the same. If the kohen while doing the chatos apnimios, and there are not that many of them, if while doing the chatos apnimios, he now has a machshava on how the imurim are going to be consumed, beyond the prescribed time or place, the whole animal becomes pigle. If, however, the thought is going on the basar of the chatas apnimios, considering that it's not a consumed portion of the carbon, it does not render the animal pigle. And lema misayele, and for the remainder of the daf today, we'll go through it quickly. For the remainder of the daf today, what we're going to be looking at is proofs and attacks against the shita of Rebbe Elazar. So let's begin. So the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. We'll see this Braisa much later on in the Masechta. If you have a machshava of consuming parim uvisrefasam, so that's nothing. Now, my love, hachisha beimurim nispagu parim. So now the Gemara makes the deal that if the machshava is going on the imurim, so that is going to have a coverage of the parim as well, meaning that if while doing the chatzos panimius, he's thinking about how the imurim are going to be burned on the mizbeach beyond the prescribed time, and that will result in the entire animal being subject to pigle. And that would be a support for Rebbe Elazar. The Gemara says, The Gemara says, not necessarily. No. All the Braisa means is that a machshava on the Imorim creates pigle only on the Imorim. Tashma. Gemara says, come in here, we're on the top of Laman Hamad Beis. Parman Esraf, Mistirman Esraf, Ma'alam, Ba'am, Mishahuk Tashu. So when is there Isser of Mi'ila begin by the Parman Esrafim, the Seiriman Esrafim, meaning Chatos Apnimios, at the time when you're a Makdish the animal? Nishkatu, Huchshur Lipasa Batulyam of Chusi Kippurim. Uvelina. And once you shech the animal, so at that point in time now, it is subject to becoming disqualified through contact of a tul yom or mechusik kippurim, and also subject to lina. Now, my love, lina's basar, and the Gemara says, now when we're saying lina, what do we mean? Presumably what we mean is the lina's basar. Ushma mina. Migata pasaba lina pasaba machshava. So the Gemara says, now, if lina is going to disqualify, meaning not the imurim, but the meat of the carbon, and again, who is the consumer of the meat of the carbon? The answer is nobody. Meaning, again, this is chatos hapnimios. And if we're saying now that there's lina that applies to the basar, so then we can speculate that there's also going to be pigle that applies to the basar as well. And that would be a wonderful support for Rabbi Lazar. So the Gemara says, well, lina's imurim. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about lina, we're talking about the lina of the imurim. Ham diktani sefer kulam alam bahem ad al beis hadeshin ashe yutach abasar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but look at the end of that brisa where it talks about when does mi'ila come to an end when it comes to these primary nisrof. And the answer, when they're burnt. Meaning after they're taken out to the beis hadeshin, so then they're going to be burnt, and then after they're burnt, there's no longer an nisrof mi'ila. Clearly we're talking about the basar, and so the Gemara now makes the point, mechlal deresha linas basar. So the Gemara says, so if the seif is talking about the basar, the ratio of that brisa also was talking about the basar, midi irya. Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Hakadisa vakadisa. Ratio, imurim v'seifa basar. No. We'll just simply segment the brisa. First part of the brisa is talking about the imurim. Second part of the brisa is talking about the basar. Mosiv rabba. Ve'elo she'im mefagel ve'ein mispaglin. These are things that are not mefagel and not mitpagel. Again, mefagel will create pigle. Mitpagel, the result, the net result of what becomes pigle. So it's them, Rishab Roshik Vasim, Vesir Shabazakin Tayashim, Val Orva, Rotav Akiba, Vala, Vamor, Vatsamos, Vagin, Vakarnaim, Vatalaf, Vashalil, Vashalya, Vichalav, Hamukdashim, Ubeite term, Kulam, Lo Mifaglim, Velo Mispaglim. So going over a long list of parts of the animal that are either inedible or just simply derivatives of the animal. So it's not Mifagel, and it's not Mitpagel. Doesn't create pigle and doesn't get slapped with the status of pigle. V'ein chayav l'mishum pigle nos v'tame v'hamal l'mehem b'chutz pater. Not subject to all the disqualifications of pigle nos v'tame. If you offer them outside the base of mikdash, you are not chayav kares. My love l'mefaglim hazevach v'lomispaglim machmas zevach. And what's the proper understanding of this brisa? Seemingly, the brisa means that it doesn't create pigle. And it never is even affected as pigle as well. Now, if this is a proper understanding of the brisa, this goes against Rebbe Elazar. Because Rebbe Elazar's thesis was that even though I can't create pigle with these derivative, non-edible portions of the carbon, but once the carbon is pigle, so then they also will get the status of pigle as well. That was Rebbe Elazar. In this brisa, seemingly what we're saying is never. Meaning never not creating pigle, and not being affected as pigle as well. So the Gemara says, lo. Lo mefaglin, sazevich, lo mespaglin, machmatz atzman. So the Gemara says, no. It just simply means that they don't create pigle, and they won't be affected as pigle on their own. In other words, but they will become pigle through nigrar, meaning what Rebbe Lazar proposed. In other words, if the pigle is going on the meat, so they come along for the ride. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the end of the brisa is repetitive. What was the point of the repetition? Ulatamech, the Gemara says repetition. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ein chayav mishum pigol hasulamali. The end of the brisa repeats the point of pigol as well. Elaida debay lemisne nosa v'tami tane pigol. The Gemara says, look, the brisa at the end wanted to just simply include nosa v'tame, and generally speaking, as the refrain, pigol, nosa, and tame usually go hand in hand. So the only reason why pigles repeat at the end is because no certain tummy. Hachanami, I did the bile missing. Amalaman bechutz tananami, v'kul lo mefaglin lo mespaglin. Since at the end of the brisa, we wanted to also introduce the point of shchut echutz, and hala b'chutz, shechting and offering these karbanos outside the Beis HaMikdash. So since we discussed that, so once again, the end of the brisa also reintroduced pigul as well. Rava Amar afanami tanina. And let's look at our Mishnah. Hashoches HaMikdash l'achol shlul shaya b'chutz lo pigul v'amolik es atorm l'achol beitzeim b'chutz lo pigul. So our Mishnah talks about the consideration of eating a derivative of the animal, the fetus, the placenta, the eggs of a bird. So in other words, these are derivative items and don't create pigul. Now, v'hadotani, chalav ha-mukdashim ha-beitzitarim, ein chayav ha-lamishim pigul nosavetame. So the Gemara says, now if you look at the end of the Mishnah, so the end of the Mishnah says that the eggs of birds are not subject to pigul nosavetame. Hashalil v'shalya chayavin. And that would mean now, clearly what was left out of the end of the Mishnah was the fetus and the placenta. And now what we seem to have is a wonderful proof to Rabbi Lazar. Because in the Mishnah, what's clearly articulated is that if the machshava was going on these derivative items, like the fetus, like the placenta, so then the animal doesn't become pigle. But once the animal becomes pigle, where the machshava is going on, the meat proper of the carbon, that will now send out a net to include all parts of the animal, even the derivative parts of the animal. Shema Mina, the Gemara says, yes. Our Mishnah is a good support for Rebbe Lazar. The Gemara ends up supporting Rebbe Lazar. Having a machshav of derivative items doesn't create pigul, but in terms of affecting pigul, once the animal is rendered pigul, that will include even derivative items as well.